Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
What's going on, everybody? It's another week of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily, and that means it is number two dose appearance for Sat E. Nyangi. You see him, man, on my right-hand side. Welcome back, brother. How are you?
Mate, I'm great. I'm humbled. Sat E, the E this week represents for embrace, because the Wrestling Daily community, you've embraced me with open arms. And I appreciate everyone that's tweeted me. If you haven't followed already, it's at Sat Next To. I'm gonna get better at this.
At Sat Next To. I'm always bad at this. Just opposites. There you go. A kind of, yeah, it's hard.
There you go. Yeah. a lot of shout outs from people, a lot of great feedback. One of them being Das Wonder Kid, Louis Dangle. Like, he basically endorsed me on Twitter and he reached out on me, you know, through DM, you know. A lovely guy. I've never met him, and for him to give me that stamp of approval, it meant a lot to me. So I'm embraced. I'm happy to be here. I consider myself lucky, being a new kid in the school. You don't know who to hang out with, the cool kids and so forth, wherever. So to be embraced by this community, thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Tremendous. And what a tremendous start you made. Yeah, very good, man. As we were talking before, just a busy life, but we'll get into that in a minute. Jeremy Bauman says, Alex still hasn't updated the bottom right-hand corner sad face. Jeremy, I don't do those things, brother. I'm the host. These are aesthetics we're talking here. This is, this is a Pete Quinnell job. What's Q-Tip up to? You know, hit that man up. That's who needs to be sorting these things out. Funnily enough, he did message us today, all the hosts being like, well done getting 12K. And I really should have at that point kind of gone, yeah, we need to update that. So kind of is my fault, maybe. But either way, you know,
you're a busy man. Come on, Alex. Don't be hard on yourself, man. You're a busy guy.
There you go. Tyler's there and all. He loves a bit of Sat.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. So yeah, I've just been busy. That's kind of before we get into the titular news of that show. That is one of the interviews that I did yesterday, which of course was with Big E. Also had Blair Davenport on the show yesterday, otherwise known as B Priestley. That's her first ever WWE interview since signing with me. And Riddle as well last week. Riddle was heavy in the game. Man, that guy is good value. And let's just say, if you hadn't seen them, I'm sure you did because we talked about him last week on the show, that man made some headlines of what he had to say about Seth Rollins. And now they're in the match together this Sunday, Sat, on Money in the Bank, man. The ladder match is going to go off. Honestly, just before we get into the news, I look at the pool, that's what I'm going to call it, like American, the pool or the field for the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. That has unbelievable potential. Could be the GOAT of ladder matches when you look at that field.
It could be. Like, you got like dark horses like Ricochet, and you got John Morrison, you know, he always turns up on the big stage.
They killed it last night.
They did. That match was incredible. In the beginning, I was a bit umming and ahhing, but towards the end, it got me in. It drilled me in. And then they're just incredible wrestlers. I just wish that Ricochet can go back to wearing, elaborate wrestling tights. I mean, I'm not feeling the street gear. He looks like he just came up from the street. Some randomer they just let back into the arena to wrestle. You know, like, I miss the pizzazz. He's missing the pizzazz. Yeah. It's almost like he's depressed. He's like, oh, if they treat me like a jobber, I might as well dress like the Brooklyn Brawler minus the T-shirt. you know.
The rip tea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, guys, this is the phone-in edition. So we are going to touch on some news today. But at the same time, I think Sat wants to have a little... He's got some ideas, guys. I'm going to let this man flourish. I'm going to let this man blossom in front of your very eyes with his top five matches and some of the all-time great. Top five, in fact, dance partners. The top five opponents. And today, he knows I love The Rock. So we're starting with... If yes, what The Rock is cooking. He is going to be up today. Number one, we're going to discuss his top five opponents and we're going to encourage you guys to get involved and let us know what you think. Two, so you know how to do it. Ultra chat, live chat, whatever. But please do get involved. WrestleTalk.com/wrestlingdaily. Have your say. Also, again, thank you for getting us to 12K. Help us kick on so we can get Quizzlemania off in the, you know, in the books, basically. Let's get it. Let's get there first. But please subscribe, like, all of that good stuff. We appreciate all of your support, all the good eggs here. You know, I know this housekeeping, you're going to have to hear some more of it because we want to get further in life, guys. Also, while you are here, you've seen it. Matthew Ledesma knows with his big symbol next to his name. He knows. That means he is a regular here. He's a member of the Wrestling Daily Tribe. So is Lizzie Stallion. We're in the background because she's got some stuff sorted, but she doesn't want to miss. There you go. I mean, WD goodness is probably what you should call it. Indeed, you can become part of the team as well. Have the emojis, have the tier system, the loyalties. You can do that too. The information is next to the video. Satman, before I get into anything moving forward, anything particularly you want to address from the last week of wrestling? It's because since you've been on, there's been NXT, there's been Dynamite, there's been SmackDown. This week we've got Slammiversary, we've got we've got Money in the Bank. All these gimmick pay-per-views just mangled
together. So much,
man.
So much. I'm waiting for something on the poll pay-per-view. That's what I'm waiting for.
You got Vince Russo's Twitter open, right?
Oh yeah. Why not? Let's have a Vince Russo invitational or his best gimmick matches on. Before we started the show, there was a NWA Empower conference. So you had James talking about, you know, NWA Empower. And towards the end, it was quite awkward because after the press conference, the guy came back on stage and he said, is there any questions? And then nobody answered. And then it abruptly ended 20 minutes before we started this. It was so awkward. I was like, what?
Oh, see, I didn't even check this out because, I was doing a Impact interview with Sammy Callahan, which you guys will be able to check out in the next couple of days. But also, I thought it was going to run into this show. So I was just like, oh, whatever, I'll come back and whatever. I did get emailed about it earlier today, though. Nobody had any questions.
It was so awkward. It was so
must have been a technical difficulty or something. Surely.
No. So they had the NWA Women's Champion on. They had Mickey James on, and she talked about how, you know, it was a pleasure for her to be given the opportunity to introduce women wrestlers on the new pay-per-view NWA Empower and so forth. And towards the end, the MC of the conference, he asked, any questions? Silence. And then it was like, thank you. A little murmur. It went dark. You hear the murmuring underneath and cut. And I got thrown to the next video on YouTube. That's what happened 20 minutes before the show.
What? Man, I mean, I would have had questions.
Yeah. there was people in the chat saying, ask the people in the chat. They got some questions. But But besides that, I watched the ROH Best in the World.
Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green. Yeah. Chelsea Green joining, you know, the women's division at ROH, but, you know, at the moment, she's still, you know, got their injured arm. As we read that, you know, she went to the PC to kind of help with her physio and so forth. So hopefully she gets into the ring. New ROH world champion, Bandido.
Bandido, I know. Mad. I didn't see it coming.
Well, I felt like it because I've been dabbling with the YouTube channel, you know, because ROH got one of the best YouTube channels going. Like, they got so much. Even if you don't watch the shows, they've got a nice roundup show of the week. So it gives you an opportunity to catch up.
Yeah. You know, first of all, John Gresham is my guy.
Jonathan Gresham.
He is unbelievable. I think you're bang spot on with the YouTube channel and the way that they review things. There's a couple of different guys, even in Ring of Honor, who have their own kind of like thing where they'll break down for you what's going on as well. Like, it really is actually pretty fresh, I think.
Yeah, there was a nice breakdown video when it was Fred Yehi versus Jonathan Gresham. And then the guy was breaking down each of their strengths and weaknesses and what could potentially help them win or potentially lose. And that was a great format in itself. So watching Best in the World was great. The only negative I had, that not all the matches had video packages. So you're quite confused if you were going in. If this was your first ROH event, there's certain feuds that didn't get a highlight. Yeah, it's cold. Nobody knows. There's like a turf war going on with LFI and with the violence faction, the foundation. There's so many things that's happened during the pandemic. It would have been great if they did a better job of, you know, elaborating what's happening. That. Yeah.
I mean, Joe Hendry, by the way, is another guy who does that really well on YouTube. Just came to my mind. Very good. He like breaks down the actual holds and stuff as well. It's very good. It's very good. To be honest, that's how I kind of keep up to date with Ring of Honor is YouTube. But Gresham's my guy. I want to see him go and do things.
He's 5'4". I think 20 years ago, you wouldn't see a guy his height. I feel like him and John Silver are changing the game in terms of guys of short stature, but you still take him seriously, you know. Mm. But I think he would have a ceiling in a WWE. I don't know if Vince would embrace a 5'4" guy.
For sure. I'm not sure that's where I'd want to see him, but I think from a technical standpoint, he is unbelievable. And I'd like to really see, I mean, I could imagine him and Daniel Bryan doing some crazy things. But
that's one of Daniel Bryan's dream matches, you know.
I know.
I would love to see that. That'd be an incredible match. And also on the ROH show as well, Jay Lethal having his like Coke Cabana singlet, which didn't keep on for too long. It was quite random. But yeah, it was a great show, and I implore everyone to check it out. I haven't checked out the MLW show yet, but watching the ROH, I was happy with the Best in the World.
Now, we're going to move on to our titular news, because at 20 past, we will invite some of you in, of course, well, all of you, to come in and get involved in the phone-in. I know there's a few of you lurking there today that told me ahead of time that you're going to come and deliver the goods. Carissa's one of those. It's been a while since I've been here. She tells me she's going to come in and tell us what's that. So we welcome her. Come aboard.
Come on now, board.
Titular news time. This is from my interview with Big E. Now, let's just get this out of the way, because Big E, for whatever reason, probably a lot of money that I paid him, put me over like Roverstat. I'm going to have to play the video.
Mate, you deserve it. Let's see it.
It is Big E. He's here on Talk Wrestling, home of the Big E push. How are you, Big E?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Alex. And thank you for being arguably the greatest voice in all of wrestling. I mean, I think you make very sound decisions, tweets. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. And I very much appreciate you and all that you do. So the pleasure, honestly, if we're being honest, really is mine. I would honestly pay to do this interview, but thankfully I don't have to. That's how gracious you are.
You don't know what you've done, Big E. You've just given me a clip that I will use for eternity against anything. That somebody will badmouth me one day and I'll go, what about this though?
What about that though?
Yeah. Like, what about that though? I thought he was joking. I was like, is he?
Mate, take a bow. You deserve it, man. He's a humble guy.
At the end of the show, to be fair as well, like he said it again. I thought, oh shit, maybe he's not joking. But there you go. The guy is just, I mean, he's just a great human being. Like this, obviously that's just wrestling, right? But I think we all know that Big E is super, as far as being a humanitarian goes and like his fights against all things socially wrong. I think he's an unbelievable bloke. So
I mean, his outfit's got like Black History on it. I mean, if you know the backstory of some of his outfits, I mean, this man is an incredible human being. Just like yourself.
Thank you, man. I loved him anyway, right? I was a massive Big E proponent, but now, Jesus, he's got me like that, man. It's from the rooftops now. I suppose before we get going and get into that news bit, because it does tie in quite nicely, who are your picks for Money in the Bank?
I ain't gonna lie. I think on the men's side, it's so hard. I don't know, because I feel like everyone is involved in separate storylines that doesn't involve the Money in Bank briefcase. Mm. So for me, my easy pick will be Matt Riddle for now. It's either Matt Riddle or Big E. Though I liked your idea about Big E winning at the Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble seems more like a babyface kind of show in terms of earning your spot and going to WrestleMania, that makes the most sense. So I was thinking it could possibly be Riddle.
I don't think that's a bad shout, to be honest.
What do you think?
I think exactly the same. I think it's either Riddle or Big E. Just looking at the trajectory of the both of them, and I think they'd both be ripe for it. And I know that's like a strange term, but they could stand the most from winning it. It would make the most sense. I don't think Seth Rollins needs it. I think he's going to be programmed with Edge, and he doesn't need that to get back to Roman Reigns. I don't think... I would love Ricochet or John Morrison to win it. I just don't see WWE seeing that.
No.
I think they're in this match because they are incredible and it's a ladder match. And I don't see Shinsuke winning it. I think he's had his time, although it's great that he is in it. I think WWE are probably thinking...
Don't break my heart, man. I'm still holding up for Shinsuke.
I love him. I love the guy, but I think that they look at it like, you know, I mean, if they didn't do it with the Rumble, is they really going to do it now? I just don't see it, man. Like, to me, I think it's Big E or Riddle. I've got to be honest, either of them two. And also, yeah, I don't see Drew winning it, by the way, either. But, I mean, for the women, I've kind of worked myself into a shoot. There's a spot left. And I'm convinced, I don't want to say the name Becky Lynch, but I'm convinced that something or someone big is going to take that last spot. I'm convinced. If not, if we're operating under the assumption that I'm wrong, then I think it has to be Vega. Or more what I would like, Liv Morgan. I think the story is there for Liv Morgan right now.
Well, first of all, that's a great answer. Becky Lynch. They didn't enter my head because I feel like there's a subterfuge going on with it could be Sonya Deville. So I was like, Sonya Deville could be the last person.
Record, yeah. For the record, I would love that. I've said this a few times and I know I sound crazy. One of my favorite matches last year is Sonya Deville and Lacey Evans. It sounds maniacal. But in the performance center era, I don't know what I was looking for there, that was a banger. And I thought Sonya Deville was coming on leaps and bounds. She was literally on the cusp of superstardom. She really was.
She was a breakout star last year. It's a shame that she got derailed a bit. And it is great that she's getting screen time to develop more as a character. And we hear she's enjoying it as well, which is, you know, is really good. But, it, you know, the Becky answer is not bad. Bravo, mate. For me, I'm going with... Nikki A.S.H. She's got the most momentum, but at the same time, WWE bookings does show the people with the most momentum are the ones that never really win it sometimes. It's always the dark horses, like you said, like the Selena Vegas and Liv Morgan, who's like an underground favorite amongst people on Twitter and so forth. So, you never know. I'm going for Nikki. I know Asuka's not going to win it. I think I'll prefer if she did a tag team thing for now because her booking as champion has never been great. She's always been great as a challenger or an underdog on the main roster. So, I don't see it happening. So, and Naomi, I would love for her to win it as well. She could be a dark horse in winning it. You never know. But, Nikki A.S.H. for me.
I think Naomi's actually an undercover great shout. You know what I mean? Like, she's one of those that's just kind of just been going along.
Yeah.
Right? They've been putting her with any partners. And sometimes they do that. They kind of have you meander so that when it happens, it's like, what a shock. And to me, I feel like we'll probably have this conversation a million more times, but I've said it a lot. You put on a show and you see Naomi come out with the fro and the style and the athleticism. That is a star. Don't care what anyone says. Everyone's welcome to their opinion. In my humble opinion, that woman, when you put on the TV, is a star, and she needs to be put in those. She needs to put in the spots, especially now, when there is definitely a wave, an underbelly of fans that want to see that for her. So you have 100%. To take advantage of that.
Yeah,
have to take advantage of that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Probably should do the titular news because we're going to do the phone in 5 minutes. Damn, oh, wow. Time flies. It flies when you're having fun.
Flies.
Sat. I'll put the link in the chat in just a minute. So Big E was talking to me, of course, about all things New Day. We were talking about how they were listed as the greatest tag team. And, you know, he didn't think they were, but he was flattered that they were picked that way. We were talking about the rise and, you know, how it's all kind of affected his story and what's going on. And I just said to him straight up, like, has anyone in WWE flat out said, look, we want to break you up? Because they're so adamant against it that you wonder if they even bother. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, normally when Vince McMahon wants something, that's it. We've learned this. If he hurt wants
business.
It enough.
You've got to the hurt business.
Yeah. If he says this is happening, typically speaking, that's happening. It's either that's happening or you're going to do a Steve Austin and you have to go. Like, that is pretty much the two avenues once Vince makes his mind up. So Big E said to me that he himself, and this obviously, I don't know if this happens often these days either, but Vince himself went to New Day and said, look, we want to split you. And this was after Kofi Mania, crucially. Right. They obviously, I don't know, he didn't go into details about who was going to turn on who or what the direction would be. But all he said is that they were unanimously against it. And as a result, it didn't happen. So I think that's cool that they had the power. And, you know, because he makes a good point. You know, if you do that, New Day Pod's gone. Yeah. Right. Like there's all these different things that they're one of the most prolific. Kofi does loads like media. For WWE, and like when they have events, I know they've cooled down in the pandemic, but New Day have been one of the, you know, the main drivers and main like focal points, the merch as well, man. Like it's a lot. It's a lot. And as Big E goes on to say, there is still a lot you can do with the New Day. I know some people are kind of like, oh, you know, it's been a while, but it's because they've been the same like clap happy dudes for a few years. You could turn them, you could tease tension. You could do different stories, right? Like, I'm not quite sure how you flip them heel, but I'm sure you could. His argument was there would still be a lot left on the table. Then maybe their legacy should be that they are the people that didn't submit to the old wrestling trope of breaking up.
Yeah.
The brotherhood is strong, Sat. Like, to me, I think that's refreshing as hell. I don't want to see them ever break up.
Yeah, I agree. Because, before we did the show today, I did research with tag teams that prematurely like broke up and floundered or they quickly brought back together. There's teams like Heavy Machinery. I mean, good old Tucky, you know, Future Endeavored. And the Iconics, that was stupid. They broke him up. And then one of them ended up being in a tag team with Lacey Evans. And you know, that didn't make sense. Why would you break up a tag team then create another tag team? And there's the Dudley Boys in 2002, APA in the 2002, and they quickly got brought back together. So the New Day is onto something, because when WWE like break up tag teams, you should have solid plans for everyone involved. So
yeah,
I think
that was also Big E's point. He was like, seldom is there a plan for everyone when they break up a stable. There's a plan for a guy. Right, they're like, you know, Rock Nation of Domination, for instance. You know where he's going.
Yeah.
But the rest of them had to figure that stuff out. And I think that's the thing. When you look at, you know, the only other example, and Big E actually said this, is maybe the Shield. And again, are they a true faction? Like, they are, but they're a super group, really. Like, all three of them were kind of, you know, you can make the argument, but Big E was basically saying he never considered them a quote-unquote, you know, group or stable. They were three, like, stars who were a team.
I don't know. I don't know about that. In the beginning, later on, maybe, when they got back together, they had a brief second run as all baby faces when they had their individual runs. But originally, there was just three young guys from FCW / NXT. Some of them unknown. Some of them known, like, you know, Dean Ambrose and John Moxley.
No, I mean, Reigns was unknown, for sure.
Reigns. Yeah.
But, I mean, Rollins had done bits in Ring of Honor, right? Like, he was... You know, again, if you don't put him into the Shield, I understand what Big E's alluding to. Like, he had that kind of singles star potential. Same with Ambrose, who's done a lot in CZW. And I know we're talking about, like, smaller places to WWE. So I understand what you're talking about. Like, but Rollins was, he was the first NXT champion.
Yeah,
right?
He was.
It's like a first round draft pick if you're going to go into it like that. I understand what Big E's saying, whereas this was a faction, the New Day. And others are typically born out of what you're going to do with these guys, right? Or there's something with one guy in mind. I understand they think that those three, because you've got to remember, they weren't just like a faction who worked their way up the card. These guys were jettisoned straight into the CM Punk title reign. Like, you know, and they were beating everyone. Like, I get what he means, but I understand what you mean, because to me, the term... Well, what did he say? Like super team or whatever they were, right? Super stable, super group, right? Like, to me, that would be like, I don't know, if tomorrow Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan said, let's get together. So I know what you mean. I don't know, brother. Let's keep it moving with Big E. What do you make of his trajectory at the moment, Zach? Because he was saying that he's, in this interview, he's not overly enamored with how things have gone for him since WrestleMania. I think we've all made the joke about how many times he's faced Apollo Crews at this stage.
Times, I think now.
Exactly. And he was obviously moving in a good direction prior to that with the IC reign, and the feud was fairly hot going into WrestleMania. And now it's kind of like that plateau thing, which heading into Money in the Bank isn't always the worst, because as you mentioned earlier, that can also mean you're about to win it.
It does.
What do you think about Big E? Because I didn't realize the guy's 35 now, right? He's done bits with New Day for a long time. When do WWE have to pull the trigger? Is it in the next 12 months? And if they don't, is the boat missed?
If they don't pull the trigger in the next 12 months, I do think they've missed the boat. I think it's now or never, because I feel like fans, they get to a certain point, they rally behind a guy. It's like a good 2 years or whatever, solid years. And if you drive the person to the ground, so does the support. It happened to Ziggler. It happened to Ryder. It's happened to a lot of people who they've gotten behind. And if WWE's like, no, I don't want to push him. Nope. Damn it.
Yeah.
And then fans just leave it. I mean, you'd forget that Ziggler was over years ago. You don't want it to happen to Big E. I think Royal Rumble would be the perfect time. It may not be Money in the Bank. Even though it'll be funny to see Big E with the Money in the Bank, he might turn into a lunch... Not a lunchbox. That's been done before.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah, hang on. Maybe a custom New Day briefcase, or maybe, you know, it'd be fun. But I think he's more of a Royal Rumble, good feel moment, you know, making it to the final four and winning. I see it, yeah. But we also have to remember that Aleister Black got released. He was going to have a hot storyline, which got scrapped. So that's why he's on a holding pattern. It's not on purpose. It's not like, it's literally his creative got nothing for him at that moment. But I think after Money in the Bank, after the draft, you're going to see a completely different, you know, Big E trajectory going, you know, straight to the top.
Yeah, and that's a good point as well. And that's something to factor in. Who knows what Big E was meant to be doing now. Like, he might have been in the match. This is his first time in Money in the Bank, which also seems strange. But he might have had plans, and thus the plans moving forward, they might have already penciled in Money in the Bank for someone else. So it's very difficult to ascertain what WWE's logic is here. But also, do we know that they even know? I don't know. I'm not convinced they knew it was Otis a long time out before picking last year. So there we have it. Anyway, let's move in to the phone-in. We've got a few guys waiting in the back end right now to come in and join us for some good wrestling talk. Let me adjust the screen. And we're going to start with Breeze. Breeze, Josie! Man, you were killing us last week with that audio. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, but I'm sorry about that, man.
You're back. You're back in business. You're at home. We're all good. Oh, no mask.
No mask at all. Not at home, actually.
I can hear you clearly. Oh, my gosh. It's great. Oh,
I'm so sorry. We are first meeting at you. We are first meeting you, Seth. And
I nearly sweated, man. When you were talking, I was like, oh, Alex, you take this, Alex. I can't do this.
Well, actually,
so
that particular last week's video is actually ongoing meme in my class right now.
You're in a class?
Oh, no. That particular video was ongoing with my class. All of my students are making fun of me for that particular video.
Ah, well. Anyway, you can redeem yourself tonight. Oh, Breeze. You have the chance.
Actually, I have a question for you guys. If you want to add some titles in AEW roster, which title would they need? I personally think that what they are doing with their world championship, it's great. They, I don't think there should be, you know, so many number of people get the world title reign.
Mm-hmm. You like that? You like it to keep it special?
Yeah,
right?
Just keep it special. Make it, you know.
So is the question like?
My question is
new championship.
Yeah, new championship should they introduce? Okay. I personally think. Okay.
Well, keeping up with traditions, I know Cody Rhodes is into tradition. It would be like probably an AEW National Championship, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
For singles, I know someone actually put in give us some trios. So maybe, but I don't know. I've never been sold on trios. So I haven't seen enough trios matches to comment on that. But maybe in the AEW National Championship, maybe, you know, besides the TNT. But
I know
AEW has enough roster, enough factions going on. So I think they can do great with trios championship, in my opinion.
They could do it. They could definitely do it. But I think that kind of dilutes the whole tag thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, if the tag team is your whole, I don't know, it's tough. Like, I guess to me, and I agree with your point, by the way, in the world title, I'm very much for whatever's good. You know what I mean? I don't just want someone to hold the title for a long time because it means that person is good. You know what I mean? I want it to mean something. I also liked it when wrestling was really chaotic back in, like, you know, the invasion angle and all titles were going all over the place. But even in that point, world titles weren't like hot potatoes. They were still like months and months and whatever. It was more the mid cards. But I like it that in AEW, what have we had? Three world champions.
That means something.
Yeah. Jericho, Moxley. I think they've picked their champions extremely well thus far. So when it does become an Adam Page, when it does become an MJF, it will be a really big deal, which is basically, you know, it's just such good business to build your backbone that way. I will say this for a title that I like or miss. And I don't think it would work in this day and age, but I still miss it, is the hardcore title. I thought that was some of the funnest stuff. I don't know how you do it these days, whether it's like a no rules title or something.
AEW can really do great with that title.
They would. They, I mean, if you were going to do it, AEW would be the place over WWE would be my thing. But I still thought that was some of the greatest stuff, personally.
Of course, of course.
And, you look like you want to say something. Say it, my man. Let it out.
I'm just going to confess what I'm holding in my soul. Hardcore title. I think before they brought in the 24/7 title in the WWE, I would have been a huge proponent for the hardcore title. But I think after seeing what has become of the 24/7 title, I just don't want to see anyone trading titles running around in the building. I'm just done with it. Yeah,
you mean the R-Truth title? You mean the R-Truth title?
The actual 24/7 championship in terms of how it's booked and structured is for me run its course. What I liked about the hardcore title was you had someone like Crash Holly be champion for a while, and then it transitioned to Steve Blackman, and then you had Rob Van Dam, who legitimized the title, because Rob Van Dam, when he became hardcore champion, he started defending against Stone Cold Steve Austin, against Kurt Angle. You know, he made it a big deal. So if WWE, I know it's about AEW, but if they did the same thing, maybe I'd be a proponent of it. If you make it more, like Edge recently said it, 24/7 title means nothing in his reign. It's like, make it meaningful, I'm up for it. If they make it meaningful, then
I think like Raven was a good hardcore champion, by the way. Like there was a few of them.
Arguably one of the best.
There was a few of them that added something to them. And I think even in this day and age, like I said, I don't know if it'd be, I'm not saying like bring back the 24/7 hardcore title. I just feel like the element of fun, even in the matches, maybe it is like a no rules title, right? Like who is the best when there are no rules and you can do anything? Like
unsanctioned title.
Or lights out.
Title would be good. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, I sometimes think everyone overthinks titles. You don't need a million titles. But at the same time, you know, I'm not pining for there to be more titles in any promotion, to be honest.
I personally think.
Sorry, guys. I personally think that NXT UK should bring back the European title and make that a secondary title.
I'm not against it. I'm a proponent, but I would say that they think that is essentially their Heritage Cup.
I don't want that. I know.
I'm just saying they think that.
Yeah.
I think they really need a lightweight tag team division.
Oh, man. I mean,
they need a secondary tag championship in AEW.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that gets very convoluted. I will say this for Sat's European title idea. You'd think that's a given, wouldn't you? You'd think that's a no-brainer at this point. William Regal come and go, here you go. I don't know. Breeze, anything else you want to discuss, my brother, before we get to Carissa Lopez, the fantasy booker extraordinaire?
Actually, in last week, I heard that Sat was a big Jinder fan.
Don't hinder the Jinder.
Yeah,
Maharaja.
Definitely. But I really thought that the best story we can do with Jinder was Jinder versus Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It can be a money match. It can be a money match if booked properly.
I agree.
But is the story you want to see being played out right now?
This week we saw a bike getting destroyed, and I really didn't like that bike actually, that red toy.
Struck a chord with you, huh?
I was getting oh, there was a replica of the sword.
They have
history together. They were, they had almost the same history. Jinder was also fired. Drew was also the fired. Jinder was brought back, became world champion. So, Drew also did that. They can easily book that.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not feeling Shanky, man.
You're not?
No, he was personally trained by the great Khali. What else can you...
Don't talk ill
Shanky
of
was
the
personally
Punjabi
trained
playboy.
By the great Khali.
Don't talk ill of the Punjabi playboy. Great Khali was great.
I'm from India and I don't feel Khali.
I'm kidding.
By the way, one more fun thing. If you guys don't know, right now, Khali's Instagram page has become a great meme. If you guys have a chance, just go over there. It is crazy. Khali has become like Chuck Norris of India. And the comment section is fire. The only thing you can read is, oh sir, please fart on me and break my neck. Only this type of comment you will read, and it's one of the most stupidly brilliant thing I have ever seen. So Khali's Instagram page is actually on fire right now.
I'll check out, mate.
Dunk it. Breeze, thank you very much, my brother, for dropping by once again. Hopefully, we'll see you next week. Good stuff, my man.
Take care of yourself. Bye.
All right. And that brings us to, I see her waiting in the wings. There she is! Carissa!
Hi.
Hey,
what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. Look what I'm wearing now.
Ah, Zelina Vega t-shirt.
Damn. Tia.
The next Miss Money in the Bank.
Oh God, you are locked and loaded with Zelina tonight.
Yep.
Listen, you are the fantasy booking queen. I'm going to assume you're going to tell me how Zelina Vega is going to win Money in the Bank. Yes or no?
Let's say I have a little thing that I'm thinking of. of how she'll basically win. Maybe she slides under the ring for a while, and then later on walks out, starts beating everybody up, climbs to the top, gets the briefcase, cashes in Madison Square Garden.
Ooh, MSG. Yeah. When is that? September, right?
MSG.
Yeah, September show.
Yep.
Man, I mean, listen, how happy were you to see Zelina put back up in WWE? Because it's one of those where like everyone was thinking, oh, maybe it's AEW, or, you know, who knew what was going to go on with her. I was gutted when she went, like gutted. I thought she had some of the most upside in the company and had regardless of gender, one of the best talkers in the company.
Amen.
So I was delighted to see her come back. Talk to me, Krista. What did you think?
So I was on the phone with a friend at that time, and then I was seeing reports. I wasn't really believing them at the time. And then we were on the phone, and then when commercials ended, and then Sonya was out announcing the next opponent that's going to be in Money in the Bank. When she said Zelina Vega, I really screamed a lot. I screamed, I almost cried. I didn't know what to think. So many emotions were going through my head. And then on Saturday, I spoke with her, and then I was like, I didn't expect Sonya to call for you to be in the Money in the Bank. I thought she was either going to put Liv in it, because Liv did deserve to be in that spot, and I'm glad she did. Or she was going to insert herself into that ladder match. And then when we spoke, I was like, I was screaming so much. My mom thought something had happened to me. I was like, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. It's like, Zelina Vega's back in WWE. She's back on my TV screen. And, you know, a lot of emotions were really running high and low. And I was just super excited to see her back, because I missed her wrestling so much.
I think she's one of the favorites, legit, this Sunday.
Yeah.
But Carissa, answer me this. There's one more spot in the Money in the Bank this Sunday. Who has got it?
Let's say I read reports. I read things that came out yesterday. And I have a feeling it's Sonya Deville. She's been out of action in the ring for almost a year. I think now's her time to, you know, break out of her shell, get out of that official role, whatever she's in, and then insert herself into the Money in the Bank ladder match, because she deserves it all. She went through a lot of hell last year. I remember everything that was going through, you know, in her personal life, and then, you know, off TV, dealing with that issue, coming back in January, just in time for, like, Royal Rumble and all the other events. And then, you know, she's been out of action. I really want her to see back. I want to see her in the ring. Like, she deserves to be in that spot. Nobody else.
Sat, what are you saying?
Well, I think that Sonya Deville winning Money in the Bank might be fun in the terms of the fact that she's got a power as a 40 figure. So they might do a retreat of that William Regal storyline when he became drunk with power, when he became King of the Ring and he was the general manager. They can do a similar thing where she wins Money in the Bank, and I would love it if they did a controversial thing where she actually cashes in, loses, because she got power, she revokes it immediately. That'd be a great heel heat if she's sticking with being a heel. Because at the moment, she's kind of a tweener playing an authority figure, but if she goes full-blown heel, that might be an interesting story to play. I mean, she could become a super heel that's needed on SmackDown currently in the women's division.
I think she's got a ton of upside. Chris, I have to ask you as well before we move on here. I'll ask you what you want to talk about. But before that, SummerSlam, Bianca Belair, seems like they're with an opponent. I'm going to assume she gets past Carmella. Sorry, Carmella. I'm going to assume this.
The most beautiful woman in the WWE.
Quote. Chris is fuming.
That's what they say. That's what they're billing her.
There you go. Who do you think? Are we running it back with Sasha Banks?
I'd like to see part two, actually, because, you know, WrestleMania was such an amazing moment, and they won at ESPYs on Sunday, so there's that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see part two. They, with better booking and better build-up for the feud to continue in a way, I'd like to see part two.
Is there anything else you'd like to bring to the table here on Wrestling Daily before we move on to some of the extraordinary quizzes I can see lurking in the back end?
Malachi Black is in AEW.
Ooh. I see where you're going here. You come on here, coming in hot with Zelina Vega. You've pivoted to Malachi Black. I see what's going on. What do you think about that then? What did you think about the debut? What do you think about him landing there as opposed to anywhere else?
I'm excited. You know, he gets to have more creative freedom in what he wants to do, whether it's vignettes, whether it's what he wants in the match, whether he wants, like, his merch. He has full control of his merch. That's what I'm really excited about. Cody Rhodes versus Malachi Black is a dream match for all of us, but Malachi Black versus Pac.
Sat, not just
sorry,
for you, no?
No. Sorry, man. Cody Rhodes has been hogging the spotlight, man. I'm done with Cody Rhodes. And please, give me someone. Pac versus Malachi Black. 110%. Pac and Cody Rhodes, no. Maybe next let me, year.
Let me or remind never. You all. Let me, yeah. Let me remind you all, you can see Malachi Black and Pac if you go on a WWE Network and check out the United Kingdom tournament many moons ago. It was Aleister Black versus Neville, and it was really good. But let me allude you to this. If he is going to be Cody Rhodes and Malachi Black, boy, Malachi Black better be going over, because, oh my word, Cody has a way of always, like, technically, Darby went over, but he had to lose, like, four times to Cody before that could happen. And Anthony Ogogo didn't get to go over when, really, he... maybe I'm British and I'm being stupid.
Hey,
he should have gone over.
The governor.
He should have gone over. The governor should have gone over. I just feel like, man, Cody had this little... not even a little time. He was the hottest babyface in, I would argue, wrestling at one point,
yeah.
Right? Correct. Maybe coming out of the cage match with Wardlow around that period of time, I thought, man, he is red hot. Every promo that he was doing, blazing. And then they did that stupid stipulation. And he's just been doing all this other stuff since where, man, he's just booked himself into a place where I'm the same. I'm kind of done with it. And I need something else.
He needs to lose like in 3 seconds. I mean, like, lights out, 1, 2, 3. Malachi Black wins. And just move on and never wrestle again with each other. With each other. I said with each other. Maybe go on AEW Dark or Dark Elevation or something like that. I don't know.
Chris, you have been wonderful as usual, my friend. I will welcome you back, hopefully on the radio or here next week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure meeting
you. Thank
you.
There you go. Before we get to the next guys, I do just want to bring up some housekeeping once again, because I'm aware that I do it at the beginning of the show and I better do it elsewhere. Like, subscribe, all of that good stuff. We thank you very much for the hundreds of you that are watching us at the moment. Please get involved and give us the goods. Help us grow. Help us here at Wrestling Daily. Come on, guys. If you want to have an Ultra Chat, I know I've got one to get to in a minute. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. Is what you need to do. The mods will give us the goods, and then off to the races we are. And of course, you can join us. You can become a Wrestling Daily member. You can do that right next to the video. We'll tell you how, also in the description. And once you do that, once you give us your loyalty, once you pledge yourself to what this cult phenomenon of Wrestling Daily is, you get lots of different stuff, including like loyalty tiers and rewards. You get to use emotes in the chat and all of this good stuff. We have merch as well, which I hardly ever mention. But we do have Good Egg shirts, Wrestling Daily shirts. It's all good. It's all good. There you go. I'm glad you're having fun, Pong Mare. That's a great name. Let's see what this Ultra Chat's about, because I believe it's from the hot Scott Maddie, who says, hey, Alex and Sat, how are you both? I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm not too bad, you know. Gonna be flexing my guns for you guys. Come on, subscribe and like.
Brother. Sat, welcome to Wrestling Daily. As a new member of the team, I think you need an initiation impression. This happens, Sat. This does happen. Can you introduce Shane McMahon, Greg Hamilton style?
Introducing the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
That's good. I liked Woo. It.
I have to wipe my forehead because my mom's critique last week said I look a bit oily. So this is for you, mummy.
Mummy. Good. Very good. He also says at the end of this Ultra Chat, have you recovered from Sunday? I had a very drink-fueled weekend, and I haven't really drunk much since I had children, to be honest. But I was best man at a wedding on Saturday. So I had to do the speech, the whole shebang. And got drunk after that. I woke up the next day and I was like, oh man, England got the finals. I need to shape up. And then obviously went and watched that with my friends as well. And everything was going great for a half. And then the old sinking England feeling came creeping back. It was tough, man. But I'm proud of the boys. I really am. They gave us a great summer. In my lifetime, they're probably the most entertaining or talented England team. I know that's right. A big thing to say, but I think they are. I think there's a lot of great role models in that team. And I think it's fucking disgusting the way some people reacted to some missed penalties. Please put that into context, everybody. And then you're going to then give racist abuse, all kinds of abuse, as a matter of fact. Marcus Rashford's out here feeding kids at school and you're going to go and vandalise his mural. You fucking mental. Like, please actually get some perspective and context in life. Because to me, that is absolutely outrageous. I don't consider those people actual England fans. You're just idiots. I didn't like it. There you go. You can tell. But again, very proud of the boys. I thought Saka showed a ton of bollocks at age 19 to take a penalty in the last five. So, man, all of my respect goes to those boys. And I honestly feel great heading into World Cup next year, when you've got Sancho, you've got Saka, you've got Foden, all of these guys, year older, year wiser. Sterling's only going to be 27. He's coming into his damn prime next year. This has worked out good for us. I feel good. Obviously, it's just sad. You can't help it. It's sad when you get that close, and it could not physically be closer. What do you think, Sat Man? How was it for you? Where did you watch it? What did you do? Tell me.
So I'm currently in the middle of a flat move. So it was at a new place. It was with my girlfriend and her family. And then, to be honest, I've been one of those people that's been making fun of England, thinking they get knocked out at each game. And when they started winning, 6-year-old Sat started to believe again, because my heart was broken when I was young doing the Euros back in the day, yeah. Gascoigne and so forth. But I used to watch and I was heavy into football. But after losing so many times, I kind of like desensitized towards football. But the finals was incredible. You know, first goal within a couple of minutes made me believe. But then in the second half was a bit, you know, deflating. And then, you know, when it got to extra time, you know, it looked like we could maybe get back into it. But when it got to the penalty, you talk about Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Dude, my heart, it felt like a horror film when you're biting your nails. Don't look behind the door. There's a killer there sort of thing. It had that tension for me. And then when I saw in succession, one black player after another, I was like, oh no. I went to my partner and I was like, I if they miss, it's not going to end well in the newspapers. And as we found out the next day after that, you know, nobody's remembering the fact that they got to the finals. You know, the positive side is like, it's probably the best team we had in 20 years. Did a great job. Phenomenal. They're a young team, only going to get better with age. But all we remember now is stupid idiots, you know, saying racist things. And, you know, I'm trying not to remember it, you know, that as the last impression. But yeah.
Yeah.
But not too bad. It wasn't too bad. But I'm, you know, disappointed about how it ended and the subsequent, you know, fallout.
Joey Yao says, what were you doing at 19, Alex? Down in vodkas on student money?
Ooh.
Probably, but I don't know.
Generalizing.
yeah, I mean, I was a student for sure. I certainly wasn't doing what those fans were doing on Sunday, I could tell you that much. Although I have no idea what context you actually mean that question in. So sorry if I'm making assumptions. It's very random. Anyway, let's get to the last guys up here. Let's start with Gallum. How are you doing, brother? How are you? I've saved Tyler for the main event. I mean, he's the champ right now, I'm afraid.
Ooh, you hear that? Main event.
I'm sorry, brother. It's true. What's going on? How are you?
I'm fine. We can call him champion for now. I've got my opportunity Sunday.
Indeed. Indeed, you do.
That briefcase is coming home with me.
What are you doing? Like predictions and stuff? Is that right?
Yeah, everyone over at Last One Stand is doing like group-wide predictions.
Interesting stuff, my man. Is there anything you wanted to talk about, maybe from Raw or just the wide world of wrestling, Callum? Tell us.
We've got a double pay-per-view weekend. So
yeah, Slammiversary.
It's Slammiversary, so that should be good.
It's a good card. Seriously, I was looking over it earlier. It is a good card.
It is a good card. The women's title match, I am hopeful for, but with the booking that Deonna Purrazzo's got coming up, because I know she's got a title versus title match at Triple Mania, I can't really see her losing the belt, but it will give someone new coming into the company the opportunity.
I didn't think Deonna would drop it to Su Yung, and she did. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. She could win it back. But I do think it's exciting because I was almost certain it'd be Chelsea Green. It obviously isn't.
Ring of Honor.
You never know. Yeah. It could be a partnership between ROH and...
It could be. You know, again, I thought Mickie James would be a contender and she's in NWA.
Yeah.
Like, everyone killed me for this on Twitter, but I kind of want it to be Gail Kim. I do. I want to see Gail Kim and Deonna Purrazzo. But, you know...
I've got a funny feeling it's going to end up being one of the Iconics.
Ooh, yeah. Cassie Lee, probably, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Maybe Cassie, maybe Jet. I'm not. It might even be both of them. It might make it a three-way.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that'd be interesting.
It's a mystery opponent. It doesn't say how many opponents it is. So they might do that. Money in the Bank is going to be good because it's always over the last... Well, we say it's a good pay-per-view. For the last couple of years, it's questionable. Because, well, heck. The field just knew, like, I completely agree with you two. It's between Riddle and Big E now. I would probably say Big E to win the Money in the Bank ladder match, men's.
Yeah, I think Riddle's got that momentum.
He was all over the show this past Monday.
I know.
Yeah, but then
I'm not going to be mad if it happens, but I just love Big E.
Yeah, But then you just know Riddle's going to end up going to be chasing after Bobby Lashley, and then they're going to try that MMA storyline shit, and it's not going to work.
It worked for Angle and Samoa Joe. That was entertaining.
I was about to say, I'd watch it, but there you go. Can I just quickly bring this up here? Because Joey Yao has said, he just clarified. That's a very valid point. Yeah, Saka's much more of a man than I was at 19. Bad doubt. I was taking Sunday League / terrible semi-pro pens, and I was bad at pens. Anyway, Callum, please proceed.
Yeah, the women's match, it's the mystery. It's the last person that's the mystery one. Because you've got...
You think that's the winner?
Honestly, I do. Because there's like four folk that you could choose.
Go on.
Sonya.
Yeah.
Sasha with a return.
Yeah.
Becky with a return.
Oh, yeah.
And who's meant to debut on Friday night SmackDown? What about Toni Storm?
SmackDown. Yeah. Could be Toni.
Yeah.
It could be Toni time.
Could be.
Toni could be in the match, but then she's not. It's to give her the showing. It's like, here's like the next person who could possibly win the Royal Rumble or be your women's champion within the next calendar year or 2 years, whatever.
Toni Storm has got insane upside. So I wouldn't doubt that at all. To me, I feel like, and I don't know whether I'm just like working myself into it, but Becky Lynch, she very much, the story is there. Not only is it a big return for her, it's in front of fans. Yeah. She had to give up her title to the briefcase, right? Yeah. It's kind of poetic to then it's say, I'm going to get poetic. Back to my title
I'm
with
sold.
The briefcase.
I'm sold.
I get you right.
That's what I do. That's what right, I do.
Well, with that, I can understand. But this is probably the booking they're going to do in between now and Mania. If Becky wins the champ, if Becky wins the contract, she'll cash in on Rhea or Charlotte.
Okay? Sorry, that's a great, that's a good comment. Yeah, it is. It is. You were extremely Scottish for that moment. Continue.
Okay, well. No, so if Becky ends up winning the contract, she'll end up cashing on Rhea or Charlotte. Okay.
You let
Becky have the title for a while, but then Rhea wins it back just before Survivor Series, so you get the Belair versus Rhea Ripley match. Okay?
Right, yeah, okay.
And then, but it can all lead to, well, Rhea Ripley will get somebody on Raw that's getting built up, probably, well, you never know with the draft, it could end up being Liv or someone like that. Bianca on the other side could face Tony, as I said. But we finally get the Fatal 4-Way Horsewomen match that we've been waiting for ages.
Hmm. Yeah.
Only had it once.
It's a long way. I mean, it would be great. Like, don't get me wrong, yeah. The Four Horsewomen match. I think there's a lot of things you have to do to get there. You know what I mean? Like, getting all four women healthy. Either... To make, yeah, well, that's one. And then to make sense, to have them maybe on the same brand, which is very lopsided as well. And
yeah,
there's just a lot. There's just a lot that you have to do. But anyway, final predictions, because I have to move on to Tyler. Men and women's, who you got?
Big E and a returning Becky Lynch.
Oh, I like this guy, Sat. I like him. I Me like too, him. Man. Callum, I will speak to you next week, brother. Take it easy.
Next weekend is my birthday, so...
Oh, yeah.
Ah, enjoy yourself, then.
Yeah, man. Have a great birthday.
Hit the bricks. Scram. Enjoy yourself, my man. Here he is, his co-host and champion, nonetheless. Talk Wrestling, my radio show, the current reigning king. Tyler, how are you, my man?
I am doing great. How about you guys?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad.
Good. Mm. I was going to talk about... Money in the Bank, but I feel like you guys have talked about it for ages. Also, Callum, those are now your official predictions. I will be putting them in the video. So, can't go back on it now. I over the weekend, I was at my mate's and we finally did a video live, just both of us in person, and we ranked all the NXT takeovers. I want to get your guys' opinion on what do you think is your best takeover, your favorite takeover?
The first one that springs to mind is New York in 2019, I think it is, or is it 20?
2019, yeah.
And man, that card is just stacked. Like, I remember watching the opener, and I think it was Ricochet and Black. I want to say the Viking Raiders, am I right in saying that? Unbelievable. And I was like, wow, we're off to a hot start here. Just an absolute, I still think it was the best of that weekend, like the card itself. I think we had Velveteen Dream and Matt Riddle, which was also unbelievable before Velveteen Dream completely fucked it. Volta and Pete Dunne.
Like, that was a murder.
I've just literally just pulled the card up here. It is unbelievable. Mm. Shayna, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai and Kairi Sane in the Fatal 4-Way. Again, unbelievable. And then we had the absolute epic between Gargano and Cole. The 2 out of 3 falls. Just like top to bottom, completely outrageously good. I mean, NXT TakeOver to me, and I've said this for a long time, is the standard bearer. I feel like it's the best show in the world in Indeed. Terms of for regularity and the quality it puts out. I would particularly make that argument pre-pandemic. I know that everything is kind of skewed by that, but with fans and whatnot, it's just the hottest thing ever. I was also at, this is a great time that SP3 makes this point, TakeOver New Orleans. I was at that one because I was at WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. Unbelievable! Had the 6-man ladder match for the North American title. Remember the inaugural one?
That is, you know, my favorite TakeOver.
That's the
one. Favorite?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one I remember the most.
It was awesome. It had that. And it had Gargano Ciampa. It had the Roderick Strong heel turn on Pete Dunne to join Undisputed Era. It was amazing, that show.
That show was full of jam-packed moments, and it was.
Is that your? That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going with. Yeah. Because I was thinking in my head, I was like, the one with the ladder match. That's the one I'm going with. That's why. Popped in my head. Yeah.
I was there. The first thing Ricochet did was jump on the top rope and then shooting star to the outside. Everyone was like, "Shit!" It's like his first thing in WWE. He's like, "Oh, okay, wow, this spoke's doing something."
This is a perfect way to debut him. Perfect way to debut Ricochet. And I feel like
back when he felt special.
And I feel like now they kind of shown it a little bit on Raw last night. I feel like the old Ricochet, the Falls Count Anywhere match against John Morrison, fantastic match. Probably the best thing on Raw last night. Maybe the Bobby Lashley and MVP bit right at the end. That was good.
Bobby Lashley promo was the best bit of Raw.
Yeah, incredible. I'm sick of this bullshit. Like, brilliant. I was like, how have they not censored this out as well? Because we all know Raw was taped as well. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he wasn't even supposed to say it. I was like, But yeah, I was surprised they didn't censor that. But again,
it's late, isn't it? It's like the end of the third hour, wasn't it? It's like 11 o'clock in America. Do what you want.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
they can do what they want. But yeah, again, I'm gonna plug the channel.
Are you? No. I'm only joking. Go on.
Because we've got Money in the Bank predictions coming. We're going to be doing live reactions for Money in the Bank as well. I've got another video coming out. I've got the ranking that I've just discussed with you guys. Subscribe to Last Fan Standing. We're like 4 away from 60. It's great fun. And I'd love to have one of you guys on at some point. Just brother, whenever you wanted.
Sat is the blossoming star, brother. You know?
Yeah.
You want book that guy.
Come on. All right.
I am booking Sat on my radio show in the coming weeks. He's just learning this right now, but I am. I'm sure we will do it.
Give me Kenny.
You gotta work for Kenny, brother. Kenny's the big prize.
Give me SP3, then give me Kenny.
One of the Daily Boys.
Honestly, brother. Again, I mean, you expect me to be impartial? You expect me to be impartial? I don't know if you want the SP3 smoke. He's very, very sharp. Really sharp.
I don't know. I beat Louis clean as a whistle, pretty much.
He was on his way out, man. His mind wasn't in it, man.
There you go. SP3 is older and has watched nearly every wrestling match ever since he's been alive.
SP3 is a machine. That guy's a machine.
It is staggering what he knows.
SP3.
But I will say this, you know, I'm you're not looking for any squashes. You're going after the big meat. I can appreciate that. Prize fighter.
I
can appreciate it. Exactly. I can appreciate it. Maybe I'll hook it up next week, SP3. I'll give you a shot of him. But man, if you fall, you know what happens, brother.
No.
Kenny slips away.
Yeah.
Into the distance. Anyway, Tyler, we have to wrap it up because we run over here, brother. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you.
I know you're one of the first in the chat.
Cheers, buddy.
My man, we will catch you next week.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Brother, Sat, we've done it again. The show is done. We're good.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly that, my man. Listen, enjoyed it very much. Once again, Sat, I thought you've been tremendous, my friend. For anyone who wants to follow Sat and his wrestling takes, I follow him. Be a good egg like me. Follow Sat Next Two. He's got a lot of wrestling takes. Get involved. Get chatting wrestling on Twitter with good people. That's my favorite thing, man. None of this toxic malarkey. Let's do that. Sat Next Two is your hookup. I'll be back tomorrow with SP3. Had to think about that. Then Steph Chase will be on Thursday. And then on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, it's Adam Blompé. The Quizzlemania man himself. I was thinking, and I don't know whether you guys would be down for this, maybe a reverse Quizzlemania. Maybe I put it on Adam. What about it?
Yes. Come on, buddy. Give him that smoke.
We only had... So John is asking for Ultra Chats. Yeah, we had one from Matthew. That's the only one I've got on my list. Did you send one, John? I need to know. Is there anything going wrong? I don't know. Yeah, there you go. I mean, I didn't find him, to be frank. Just to give Sat all the praise, he basically put himself forward to the powers that be. And then I watched a tape of Sat, which one day we will release at a certain stage, I'm sure.
15K subscribers, so we can go War Games. Give us War Games. Give it to us. Give us what you want.
There you go. I thought he was going full Batista, but then it just turned more squeakier.
Got a mic there. Give us what you want. Like, I don't want to blubber. Like, come on, guys. Like, yeah. Give us what you want. Come on. 15K, guys. Come on.
There it is. Tremendous stuff. Sat, you've been great. Guys, I will see you tomorrow, 8 p.m., right here on Wrestling Daily. Take care.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.